of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, we praise you, we glorify you, and we thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through this resurrection, you gave us life. You gave us eternal life. You redeemed us from our sins. We thank you, O Lord, for your love, for your sacrifice, for coming to our world to give us the meaning of life, to give us the real life, abundant life. Thank you for this period of time, the season of resurrection, where we celebrate with joy, with hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we look to our home, where we are heading, with big hope, with big joy. Thank you, O Lord, for all your gifts, your presence, for your abundant gifts in our lives. Thank you for all your work through us. We thank you and we glorify you, praise you now and forever. Amen. So we start by saying, Masih qam, Jesus is risen.
Haqqan qam.
Indeed. He's truly risen. That's why we are together today, because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't have any reason to have this Zoom talk tonight. So I'm so happy and pleased to be with you this evening, not to give a talk, just to meditate or to contemplate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we start by talking about this resurrection, this event that changed the world. And since we were born, we are always hearing this story of the incarnation of Jesus. We celebrate Christmas, and then we pass through different seasons. And the culmination is when we say Jesus is risen. It's like watching a movie about someone who had a special life, a special birth, special life, special teaching, performing special things that are beyond our imagination, walking on water, silencing a storm, healing, giving life to dead. And then he was crucified, he died, and resurrected. Okay, it's a beautiful story. But the question is, what we say in our life, you know, the YFM system, YFM, it's YIFM. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What do I have to do with all this story? Do I have something for me? Do I benefit from it? Am I involved in this story, or am I just listening to the story or talking about it, or like watching a movie that I have nothing to do with it? What is the impact of this resurrection on my life? What do I have to do? Do I have something to do in my life or no? What is this resurrection for me? This is the main question. You know that human being, they have a big worry, big fear from a big enemy who is death. Every human being on earth is afraid of death. And we consider that death is an end. It's a black, ugly enemy that we are all heading toward. While hearing about the resurrection of Christ, we cannot be passive towards such an event. We cannot be indifferent. We have nothing to do with this resurrection. Since someone raised from the dead, the question is, will I die definitely or do I have the chance to be resurrected as well? Is the death, is it an end for me, for the human beings, or something will start? So the resurrection of Christ, a man raised from the dead, is something that should have a huge impact on my life. And the question is, what do I have to do? Or do I have something to do to follow this path, to follow this way, to be myself one day risen like Jesus Christ, resurrected, triumphing over this enemy? So this is the, if you want, this is the position of every human being towards Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a man that we cannot look at passively and indifferently. So either he is what he was talking about himself. He said that, I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the light of the world. He said a lot of I ams. And the most important is the I am. I am. This is the name of God. Towards a man saying all these things, that he is the light, he is the way, he is the resurrection. So either he will be what he is saying about himself, or he will be, God forbids, a liar. So if Jesus died and he was buried and finished, I have nothing to do with this, the whole story of resurrection. But if he is really risen from dead, it's a very important question, or it's an extremely important answer to a deep question about life and death. So I cannot look at this event passively or indifferently. So either Jesus is finished. So when he said on the cross, it is finished, something has finished. He didn't say, I am finished. And we don't say that he is finished on the cross. It is finished. Something is finished, but something started. So Jesus didn't finish on the cross. He achieved something, and something is finished. So what's in it for me, this thing, since one day I will be finished? So first of all, we agree that we cannot look at this event passively as nothing happened. It's something extremely important. A man was risen from death. There is an open tomb. A grave is open. The door of a grave is open, and there is no one inside. And this door, which was shutting and closing the grave, and it opened. In fact, it opened for us a window to another world. It's exactly like we are in a huge jail, in a huge prison. And then suddenly, a window was opened in the walls of this jail. That's why when the stone was rolled and the grave was opened, a window of light was opened to other dimensions, to another world. This is telling us clearly that we are not stuck in this world. We don't belong to this world. There is something somewhere else. There is something going on in another world, in other dimensions. So another world is opened for us through this tiny door of a grave. Another world is opened for us, other dimensions. And since this very moment of the resurrection, the whole meaning of life has changed. It's a life-changing event for humanity, what happened at the resurrection. A man just triumphed over death and he was risen. So let's meditate together. Let's contemplate this event and try to see what's in it for me, what's in it for us, what should I do? I have, in fact, actually different choices. I can disregard this event and continue to live my life as nothing happened. But deep down inside of me, I live in fear. In fear of sickness, in fear of failures, and the biggest fear, the fear of death. Every time I think that my life will end someday in this planet, I have to rethink my life. Where am I heading? Is there a window? Is there a door? Is there an opening in this wall of this world to another world, which is wider, which is not ephemeral, which is not ending, which is eternal, beautiful? So the first attitude, the first position I can take is to disregard it for a moment, and then it will come recurrently in my life every time I face death, either personally or through the death of beloved ones. The second thing, the second position or attitude I can take is to see, okay, I believe in this resurrection, and I want to know, what do I have to do? And you know, here there are a lot of theories. Some say, I have nothing to do. It is finished. Jesus did everything. He saved me from my sins. He redeemed me. And I will get the eternal life because he took away my sins. He gave me the eternal life and I have nothing to do. This is not what Jesus is telling us. The second position, which is worse, is that I can continue my life normally. Even I can continue sinning, and Jesus will always wipe away my sins, whatever I do. So I can continue my life normally, do whatever I want. Even if I sin, Jesus will, with his eternal huge love, will continue always to wipe my sins away and give me eternal life without doing anything, even more if I am sinning more and more. So let's say what Jesus is telling us. If we have something to do or just relax and rely on him and trust that he did everything. Okay, of course, that Jesus saved us from our sins. He redeemed us. He died on the cross for us. He was resurrected for us. He ascended to heaven for us. He is on the right hand of the Father waiting for us. He did everything with his divine mercy, with his huge love for us. He did everything for us. Great. What do you have to do myself now? Jesus gave us teachings, he gave us commandments, he asked us to do many things, and he said to us that we have to go through the narrow gate. And he said to we have to make efforts to pass through the narrow gate to the kingdom of God. He didn't say for us that you have nothing to do. On the night of the Last Supper, he said, he broke the bread and he said, behold, eat this bread. This is my body. And then he offered the cup of wine. He said, drink of it all. This is my blood. So these are his commandments. We have to eat his body and drink his blood. This is the main idea of the resurrection. And he said in John 6 that whoever will eat his body and drink his blood will have eternal life. And whoever will not eat his body and drink his life will not drink his blood, will never have the eternal life or enter the kingdom of God. And he said that not everyone who will call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but who is doing the will of my Father, or he is following my commandments. Those are a few passages, a few words from our Lord Jesus Christ telling us what to do. So we have to partake his body and blood. We have to follow his commandments, follow me, go through the narrow gate, to follow the commandments of his church, of his apostles, because he gave authority and power to his apostles to forgive sins. And he said to them that whoever you forgive his sins will be forgiven. And whoever will hold his sins for him, his sins will be held, not be forgiven. So he gave us the tools of our salvation. It's enough. It's not enough for us to say Jesus is risen and this is enough to be saved. Okay, Jesus is risen. He done everything. And now it's my turn to accept the work of Jesus, to accept the redemption, to accept his love. I know that Jesus, I believe that Jesus loved us in a tremendous way. But my role, my turn now, is to accept his love. My turn now is to accept his commandments, to follow him, to do whatever he is asking us to do. It's not something easy to do always in remembrance of the Lord as he asked us to do. Do this to remember me, in remembrance of me. So we have to remember him every day, to eat his body and drink his blood. And this has other requirements. We cannot eat his body and drink his blood when we are in states of sin, when we have sins. Because St. Paul is saying that if we eat the body of Christ in an unworthy way, we will be sinning. We'll be heading toward judgment. We'll be judged. So when we will eat the body of Christ and drink his blood, we should be in a state of grace without sin. To be without sin, we have to be pure, to be purified. And we are purified through the confession, because this is the commandment of Jesus Christ. He wants us to do this, to confess, to be pure, to be in a state of grace, and then to go and have his body and his blood, to share with him his sacrifice, to share with him the cross, to share with him his sufferings, as St. Paul is saying. When you share with Jesus his death, you will share with him his resurrection. If you don't share with him his death, you will not share his resurrection. So we die with him so we can resurrect with him, can live with him. So these things that we have to do, and without doing these things, we are saying to Jesus, okay, you came to our world, you became man, you took the image of a slave, you emptied yourself, you went down to the deepest point of humanity to gather us, to grasp us, to take us up, but I refuse this work. I don't want to participate. If this is my attitude, this is my position towards this beautiful story, so I won't be saved, because I'm not accepting the work of Jesus. I'm not accepting the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. So I can say that, okay, maybe I believe that Jesus came to our world, he died, and he was resurrected, but I have nothing to do with this story. In depth, if I want to follow Jesus Christ, if I believe in Jesus Christ, I have to follow him and follow his commandments. to go through the narrow gate. That means I have to choose always the commandments of Jesus, his teachings, not the teachings and the commandments of the world. That who Jesus said about it, it's the wide gate. And he said that the majority of people are going through the wide gate, which lead to perishment, to die, to death. You have to go through the narrow gate. The narrow gate is through following Jesus Christ. I have to follow Jesus Christ, to follow his commandments, not only to say, Lord, Lord, and to believe in his resurrection. It's not enough to believe. St. Shelby said, it won't be enough to know the way. You should walk the way. If you know the way to the resurrection, you say that the way is to follow Christ. It's not enough. You have to follow Christ, to walk by his steps, to obey his commandments, to do what he's commanding us to do, starting and ending with these two golden commandments. Love God from all your thought, your heart, your spirit, your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So to perform these commandments, it's not easy to love our neighbor like ourselves. It's not easy to love God with all the power that we have, with all the strength that we have, with all our heart and mind. To do this, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. To have this power of the Holy Spirit, we have to be pure without sin, to let the Holy Spirit work through us. To be pure without sin, we have to listen to Jesus, what he is telling us, to go and confess our sins. And after the confession, we have to share with Jesus, to eat his body, to drink his blood, to partake his body and blood, to share with him his sufferings, so we can share with him his resurrection and his glory. Without sharing the cross with Jesus Christ, we cannot share with him his glory. St. Paul is always talking about the struggling, about following Jesus, about suffering with Jesus, to deserve the crown, to deserve the prize. Otherwise, we won't have it. So if you want to win a prize, you have to race. If you don't race, you will never win the prize. So in our world, we have to go to this race and look always in front of us for the prize, which is the kingdom of God. And necessarily, this will require our total obedience to Jesus Christ and his commandments, to do what he commanded us and ordered us to do, and especially to eat his body and drink his blood, to be pure, to confess our sins, to follow, in our word, what we say, to follow the sacraments that God instituted and founded in our world before his resurrection. So in brief, I cannot look at this resurrection passively, indifferently, as if it has nothing to do with me. If I want to follow Christ, I need to follow his commandments, his orders, to follow what he wants me to do, not what I think it's good for me to do. It's not enough just to watch the movie, because it's not a movie. It's not a story, just a mere story of a man who came to our world and died and resurrected. It's my story, myself. It's the story of every human being who will one day face this evil, which is death. With Christ, you can be sure that you will face death with the power of the resurrection, and you will be risen, and you will live eternal life with Jesus Christ. Because God created us for eternal life. God doesn't want us to die. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to our world, to give us the eternal life. But we have to accept it. God is offering us a present, a gift, which is the eternal life. But we have to accept it. We accept it through following his commandments, to following him, to walk step by step with him in his footsteps. Otherwise, I won't go anyway. Because he is the way. I have to follow the way. He is the truth. I have to witness for this truth. He is the life. I have to have this life, eternal life, through his body and blood. Otherwise, I won't have the eternal life. It's very clear. It's very straightforward what God, Jesus, told us to do. His commandments are very clear. Eat my body, drink my blood, confess your sins, follow my commandments, love each other as I loved you. So this whole thing is what is required from me to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to accept the redemption of Jesus Christ. I cannot accept it only by saying, okay, I believe Jesus. It's not his way. And he said, even if you call me Lord and Lord, you won't be with me in my kingdom. You have to do what I commanded you to do. And this is what he wants us to do. So this is, in a few words, just a meditation or a contemplation or some insights on the resurrection of our Lord. So what we have to do now to say and to promise, I believe in you, Lord. I trust you, Lord, and I will follow you, my Lord, exactly as you are telling us to do, not as I want to do. You are asking us to follow you, to listen to you, to know your will, to share with you your body and your blood, to be with you, to share with you your sufferings, to be with you on the cross. Because Jesus, he told us, everyone who wants to follow him, we have to bear our cross every day, deny ourselves and follow him. So we cannot follow Jesus Christ without the cross. And if we bear our cross and follow Jesus Christ, after the cross, surely there will be the resurrection. This is the way. All we have to do is to follow the way. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to think and to work with our own thoughts and ideas. We have to follow Jesus as in his way, as he is asking us to do. So in brief, this is the resurrection. As I said, some ideas. If we want to talk about the resurrection, about the redemption, about the life of Jesus, about what he's requiring from us, it will take us hours. But these are the headlines. Jesus Christ is inviting us to follow him, taking up our crosses, following him every day, deny ourselves, go with him to the cross, be crucified with him, to crucify our sins with him, and then we will deserve and we'll be worthy for the resurrection and for the eternal life with him in his kingdom. So this is our meditation, our contemplation. I hope that I could forward this message clearly. And I hope that some ideas touched your heart or your mind to take new decisions, that you have to take every day, new decisions to follow Jesus every day and deny ourselves and to be always aware not to follow this world and go through the wide gate, but to listen to Jesus and go through the narrow gate. So thank you for listening.
If I may add to all what you've said, that we have all the time in the world that is reserved to each one of us to do what you are suggesting. We're not short of time. So the matter of time is very important, because some people would say, I am at an age where I am old and it's not worth, or I don't have time or whatever. So God will provide, but we have to take advantage of the time we have in this life. Once we know that we have to live according to these truths, I just wanted to say, I don't know if you want to add something.
Yeah, the matter of time, Jesus is asking us to be always prepared because we don't know when the thief will come. And another place he said, we never know when the Lord will come. This is on one side. On the other side, there is no limit for time. The thief, the right-hand thief, who was crucified close to Jesus on his right hand, he won his eternal life at the last second. So it's a double-edged. We cannot say, okay, I will have a lot of time, so I have time to repent and to start again, because you don't know when the thief will come and steal your house. You don't know the time where death will come and invite you. And on the other side, we have never to be desperate that, okay, I'm old, I've had, passed through a lot of bad things, I'm full of sins, and I cannot do anything. Yes, you can. At the last second, you can. Exactly at the right-hand thief did. So from one side, we don't have time because we don't know the time. On the other side, we can have our redemption even at the last second, like the thief. But we have to be diligent. We have to be always awaking and watching over our spiritual life, not to sin, and to be always following Jesus at all the times, preparing ourselves to that moment where we will leave this world.
If anyone has a question, please go ahead.
أنا عندي سؤال.
تفضل.
بسردي أنا عم بحضرك على سردي. مرق شيء لفت لي نظري هو أنه نحن بتعرف نخلق هو أساس أنه البلان تبعنا مرسوم معنا. أنت عندك نظرية تانية لهذا؟
Okay, I was asked that during one of my interviews. I said that
one is asking.
Questions. He said that when we are born, our life is already decided and we have to follow a plan previously planned and finished by God. This is not our faith. We Christians, we believe in the free will. You make your own life. You take your decisions. Either you obey God or you refuse God. So this is your choices. You are making these choices in this world. Otherwise, God will not be able to judge you. If everything is designed for you, and just you are following a path which is previously designed and you have only to follow, when you arrive before God at the end of your life, how will he judge you? You will say to him, okay, this is what you decided and I cannot do anything. He will not judge you on sins nor on your good deeds. So in our faith, when Jesus said to you, go through the narrow gate, it's your choice. So you can't choose to go through the narrow gate or not. When Jesus will tell you, follow me, you decide if you want to follow him or not to follow him. When Jesus is giving you his commandments, his teachings, and asking you to do what he is asking you to do. So it's your choice. It's your will. It's your decision. You design your life. You make your life. And at the end, you will stand before God and he will judge you on the sins that you did if you don't confess and repent. And he will reward you for the things that you've done good. So in our Christian faith, there is nothing maktub, nothing written, and I have to be unconscious of what I'm doing, just following things or following a plan that is previously prepared for me. This is not Christian. This is mainly for different religions where they say that it's maktub. This is maktub and I can do anything. No, it's not Christianity. You Christian, you are free. It's the free will. That same Thomas Aquinas talked a lot about the free will. You are free. in your choices, your decisions. Some few things you're not free. You didn't choose your birth. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your language. You didn't choose many things that they were coming with you to this world. But your salvation, you choose it. I think that St. Ignatius or St. Augustine said that God created you without your consent, but he cannot save you without your consent. So you have to accept to be saved. And this is your decision. And on this decision, you will be judged. Nothing is written. You are not a slave. You are free. You have the free will not to follow a way that you didn't choose. I think that it's clear. It's not my idea. I don't have ideas myself. I convey the ideas of Jesus. It's his will.
Now I have a question.
Go ahead.
What do you do? Sometimes I get into these arguments with my mother or debates. When our Lord says to even pray for your enemies or people that come across your life or they do you wrong and you know they did you wrong and you still pray for them, right?
Yes.
But I tell my mother, I don't think I have to like them, but I still pray for them. I mean, when I pray for them, I wish them the best. I don't wish them no ill will. I know our Lord says to pray for our enemies and to pray for everyone and to pray for the people that you don't like, but can I still, like, do I still have to be your friend? Like, am I obligated to that person that did me wrong? Am I obligated to still be their friend? You know what I mean?
Yes, sure. Yes, you know, Guillermo, that in the Bible, in the teachings of Jesus, we have answers for all the questions, even for this one. First of all, I can advise you, and this is what God has given us, to rely always on the Holy Spirit, and especially on the gift of wisdom. Because with the wisdom, we can always discern what to do in each situation. And we can understand more and more the deep meaning of the words of Christ. When he said, love your enemies and pray for the people who harm you, but with wisdom, which means that I don't, exactly as you said, I don't have to like them, but I pray for them. I don't have always to be living with them. Sometimes I have to have distance with some people to avoid sins. So, but how do I know this? It's through the gift of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Because in one passage of the Bible, Jesus told us that when you have problem with your neighbor, first of all, you go and talk to him. If he will listen to you, okay, you resolve the problem. If not, go to the priest. If not, go to the community. And if all these things won't get your results, consider him like a Gentile, which means that, okay, keep distance. Don't always be with him because he will lead you to sin. But the most important thing is not to have something that will spoil your spirit, bad feelings, hate, to have this bitterness in your heart, to have bad feelings towards any person. So keep love in your heart. Keep always loving even your enemies and the people who hurt you. But be wise in your decisions, either to continue living with them, or having some distance, as Jesus told us to do. So try always to resolve the problems with all your neighbors, with all the people around you, not to have problems with them. Love them, serve them. But when there will be harm, you have to act as Jesus told us to do. So first you go and try to resolve the problem with the one who harmed you. And second, if it doesn't work, you go to the priest and then to the community and then to the judge And then if nothing will resolve the problem, consider him as a foreigner. Yani, it means stay away of him, because it may lead you to sin. To avoid sin, avoid the people that will make you sin, but keep loving them and keep praying for them.
I have a question for you. Where would you say you are spiritually today compared to 5 years back or 15 or 20 years back? How do you, like, if you want to, like, just briefly tell us about your spiritual growth, where are you today compared to a few years back?
I cannot know. Really, really, I cannot know. You know, it's like swimming in the ocean. When you start swimming in the ocean, maybe you will be getting away of the shore and making a lot of efforts. If you look on a daily basis, you feel that, okay, you swam a few meters. But if you look at the ocean, you feel that you're still in the same place because it's an ocean. So it's very hard to know where do we stand in our spiritual life. I feel, sincerely, I feel that I'm still on the first day.
Okay.
So we are always like beginners in our spiritual life. We never be professionals or in high classes. I feel that I'm always a beginner, really, really beginning. It's exactly like swimming in a huge ocean, and you have just a drop in this ocean.
And what about your attitude? What attitude do you feel you have now in your relationship with God? Is it an attitude of obedience or more of attitude of love or what?
It's love. And if there is obedience, it's out of love. But it's pure love. When you experience the true love, the agape, the love of God, you will obey with big joy. It's exactly like when you experience the love of your dad at home, and you love your dad in such a way that you will obey whatever he will tell you to do. Because love is the ultimate and the most important thing that a human being can experience from God. When you experience the true, deep, huge love of God, everything will be different in your life.
And this experience, would you say it's a grace, or it's something, part of it is your will and your dedication to prayer?
No, it's pure grace. Dedication grace. To prayer has nothing to do with this. Yeah. Yeah, it's a grace. Because you can spend years and years and years and praying and asking. God, of course, will deal you in a way, but he's always has some ways to deal you in different ways. He can grant you gifts, and what I went through is just a gift from God. It's a grace. But at the same time, you know, God will offer you the grace with the cross. There is no cross without grace, and there is no grace without the cross.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. You share with Jesus the cross and the glory.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles.
Okay, I guess that's all.
Well, thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank Jesus always for these meetings, for being here among us, and for us, and with us. And I thank you. I thank Ghassan for this opportunity that he's always given us to meet, to talk, to meditate and to contemplate on the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the most important is to follow Jesus in his footsteps, to follow his commandments, to do whatever he is asking us to do. And the most important thing is to be all together one day in his kingdom, in the eternal life. So thanks again, and God bless you all. Thank you.